Well, you know what passage we're turning to tonight again, Exodus chapter 14. Let's read it again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Moving down to verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. Move down, please, to verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. May 1940 was a time of grave crisis for the British Empire and for the whole civilized world. On the 10th of May, Hitler had launched his blitzkrieg against the Low Countries and France. By the end of the second week in May, the French defences had been broken. German panzer forces, led by Rommel and his 7th Panzer Division, burst through and with lightning speed began a rapid advance across France and Belgium. Very soon, Rommel's armoured pincer movement was threatening the British army with encirclement, and our forces were being obliged to withdraw. Back home, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill feared that it would be his hard lot to announce the greatest military disaster in our long history. Whilst on the 27th of May, the German High Command went so far as to boast, that the British army is encircled and our troops are proceeding to its annihilation. With the entire front collapsing rapidly, the decision was reached at home to evacuate our forces from the continent. But the only port from which to evacuate the British expeditionary force was Dunkirk, and that was already being seriously threatened by the Germans. Taking stock of the predicament, Churchill said, "I thought that perhaps 20 or 30,000 men might be re-embarked. The whole root and core and brain of the British army seemed about to perish upon the field or be led into ignominious and starving captivity. All seemed lost." But Britain had a God-fearing sovereign. Seeing the situation developing, His Majesty King George VI requested that Sunday the 26th of May should be observed as a national day of prayer. In a stirring broadcast, he called the people of Britain and of the Empire to commit their cause to God. Together with the members of the cabinet, the King attended Westminster Abbey, whilst millions of his subjects in all parts of the Commonwealth and Empire flocked to the churches to join in prayer. The scene outside Westminster Abbey was remarkable. Photographs show long queues of people who could not even get in. The Abbey was so crowded. So much so that the following morning, one newspaper headline exclaimed, "Nothing like it has ever been seen before." In their darkest hour, a heart cry from both monarch and people alike was going up to God in prayer. And that cry did not go unanswered, for on Tuesday the 28th of May, just 2 days later, a storm of unprecedented fury broke over Flanders, grounding the German Luftwaffe and enabling the British army formations, who were now 8 to 12 miles from Dunkirk, to move up on foot to the coast in the darkness of the storm and the violence of the rain, with scarcely any interruption from aircraft, which were unable to operate in such turbulent conditions. Despite the storm in Flanders, a great calm settled over the English Channel. It was this extraordinary calm which enabled Operation Dynamo to be carried out. Big ships, warships, privately owned motor cruisers from British rivers and estuaries plying back and forward in a desperate bid to rescue as many of our men as possible. And folks, as they say, the rest is history. 3,500 years before Dunkirk, another remarkable event took place, and we're referring, of course, to the Red Sea crossing. There are those who say that it is just folklore, that you Christians believe in fairy tales, that you Christians believe in a sky fairy who just doesn't exist. Well, unfortunately for doubters like that, archaeologists have discovered chariot wheels and horse bones at the bottom of the Red Sea, at the very site where the Israelites crossed all those years ago. So friends, tonight we are dealing with fact, not fiction. We're dealing with history, not hearsay. I want us to come tonight to this amazing incident at the Red Sea. We were thinking about it last Sunday evening, and we're thinking about it tonight, and God willing, unless the Lord puts something else in my mind and guides me to another scripture, we will be back to it next Sunday evening. You see, this passage in Exodus 14 is as deep spiritually as the waters off the Red Sea. There is so much in it for us to glean, so much blessing from this chapter, and so many verses in this chapter that point us to the great God of creation who saved his people in their darkest hour. So here we have the picture of Pharaoh and the Egyptians pursuing the Israelites. And just like the Egyptians and their cruel leader Pharaoh, we have today in our nation the cruel European Union pursuing Britain. The EU has been pursuing our nation ever since the referendum in 2016 and indeed prior to it. How have they done this? Well, you see, they have operatives working in the heart of government. In fact, they have someone at the very top, and she lives in 10 Downing Street. Her withdrawal agreement, which in truth is a surrender document, it has suffered two humiliating defeats already. What part of the word no does Mrs. May not understand? But of course, we shouldn't be surprised because she is just obeying her EU masters. Last week in the Commons, she wore a bracelet with a picture of Frida Kahlo, the 1940s communist activist. Says it all, really. We not only read in Scripture that Pharaoh and the Egyptians pursued the Israelites, but God's word tells us that they actually overtook them. If you look there at verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them. Just like the Egyptians, our parliament has overtaken the people of our nation. This past week, our parliament has behaved in the most disgraceful, shameful way. Vote after vote, they have been going against the will of the people. What a brood of vipers they really are. Oliver Cromwell, in his speech to the Rump Parliament in 1653, he said the following words: "It is high time for me to put an end to your sitting in this place, which you have dishonoured by your contempt of all virtue and defiled by your practice of every vice. Ye are a factious crew and enemies to all good government. Ye are a pack of mercenary wretches and would, like Esau, sell your country for a mess of pottage and, like Judas, betray your God for a few pieces of money. Is there a single virtue now remaining amongst you? Is there one vice you do not possess? Ye have no more religion than my horse. Gold is your God. Which of you have not bartered your conscience for bribes? Is there a man amongst you that has the least care for the good of the commonwealth? Ye sordid prostitutes, have you not defiled this sacred place and turned the Lord's temple into a den of thieves by your immoral principles and wicked practices? Ye are grown intolerably odious to the whole nation. Lock up the doors. In the name of God, go." Quite a speech. But what a speech. Folks, I think we would need Cromwell back today. You do know, of course, that Oliver Cromwell was a fine believer. The text of Scripture that he loved was Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And we can be sure, and we can see it in his life and the events of his life, that it certainly was the Lord Jesus Christ who was strengthening his servant. Oh, that God would give us a Cromwell today, someone to lead us out of the pagan papal European Union. Well, we read there some very interesting words at the start of Exodus chapter 14, this verse 2. There are some place names that are of importance, and we very easily could overlook their importance. Verse 2, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon." Folks, you see that word Migdol, it literally means tar. There was a tar, like an Egyptian fortress that was placed there right at the Red Sea, strategically placed, blocking the escape of the Israelites. Now, what did I begin this series of messages by speaking to you of? At the start of February, do you remember, I spoke of the Tower building in Strasbourg. You make the connection between the two towers. See how appropriate the Word of God is for our nation today. That Tower in Strasbourg, that seat of the EU Parliament, where the EU hierarchy are plotting and scheming how they can keep our nation embroiled and entangled. They do not want us to be free. But of course, that tower building in Strasbourg reminds us of the Tower of Babel in the Bible. The Tower of Babel that we read of in the book of Genesis was an act of rebellion. And the building of that tower was an act of rebellion against the God of the Bible, the true Creator God. Do you know what the tower building in Strasbourg is today? It's a blatant act of rebellion against God. Migdol. What about that other name in Exodus chapter 14? It's significant too. It's that name there in verse 2, Baal-zephon. Baal-zephon. That name refers to one of the Egyptian gods, one of the Egyptian idols. And that god was placed there at the Red Sea to watch, wait for it, for any runaway Israelite slaves. Pharaoh and the Egyptians believed that Baal-zephon, their idol, their demon idol, would watch that area there at the Red Sea to make sure that none of the slaves of Israel would be able to get free. Of course, we're reminded of the paganism of the European Union. And I've spoken in this series about the false gods that are all over the EU. You remember we spoke about Europa, an idol. By the way, if you go to the website of the European Union, you know what the web address is, europa.eu. It's right there in black and white. The god Zeus, other pagan gods that are connected with the European Union. And the European Union is pagan, just the same as Egypt all those years ago was pagan. Well, folks, the good news tonight is that no pagan god was able to stop the Israelites getting free from Egypt, free from their bondage. And I want to say that no pagan god is going to stop our nation getting its freedom from the cursed European Union, because the God of creation is in complete control. So as we finish, what's the connection between the Red Sea crossing, the evacuation from Dunkirk, and Brexit? A miracle. You see, on the shores of the Red Sea, Israel witnessed a miracle. Jesus Christ was there, as we've already said, above his people. And you see, the Lord Jesus is the master of the sea. Whether it's the Red Sea, or the Sea of Galilee, or the Irish Sea for that matter. Dunkirk was Britain's Red Sea moment. In his We Shall Fight on the Beaches speech on the 4th of June 1940, Mr. Churchill spoke with a voice charged with emotion and reported that rather than 20 or 30,000 men being rescued, 335,000 men had been carried out of the jaws of death and shame to their native land. He referred to what had happened as a miracle of deliverance. So grateful was our nation that on Sunday the 9th of June, that day was appointed as a day of national thanksgiving. Services were held in churches up and down the land, and with great feeling, many a choir and congregation sang the words of Psalm 124, the psalm we are about to sing tonight. For they were seen to apply to that situation through which the nation had just passed. No other passage of scripture could have more aptly described the nation's experience on that day. The words seem to have been especially written for that occasion. And then there's Brexit. The only way that our nation will truly be free from the tentacles of the EU monster is divine intervention. Yes, a miracle. Folks, that's exactly what we need. Then again, if you're not a Christian tonight, you need a miracle. I urge you to come by faith to Christ, the one who can perform the miracle of salvation. Come to Christ tonight and let him drown the Pharaoh of all your sins in the Red Sea of his own blood. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, the one who was at the shores of France in 1940, he is the same one who is with us in our nation today in 2019. And he alone is able to perform a mighty miracle and to perform an act of deliverance and to free us from the shackles of the European Union. But this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is able to perform the greatest miracle of all, the salvation of a soul. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, yes, it took a miracle of grace.